Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator and today's conversation.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pediatric Insight. My name is Bruder Stapleton. Our council members in attendance today are Craig Hillemeyer, Robert Sawin, Daniel LaRocca-Arena, Arnold Strauss, Bruce Rubin, Wesley Milliken, and the Career Physician team. Today's topic is focused on the candidate. Often we talk about the leadership positions, but this or other aspects of recruitment. But this is a bit unique in that today we're talking about what are the obligations of a candidate in the search process, especially in terms of communication. We, and always during the recruitment process, focus on confidentiality. And that confidentiality is so important for the candidates as they pursue positions. We haven't focused on what the candidates' obligations are in terms of their communication at different levels during the search process. So maybe the first question today, and I'll call on Wesley, the CEO of Career Physician, to talk about what do you see as the candidate best practices in terms of discussing their situation as it has to do with looking at other jobs or issues that might challenge their recruitment. Wesley, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd start by discussing it when there's a search firm involved, because that's what we know the best. Because I think there is a really unique dynamic between having a arm's length third party as a go-between in a search versus a candidate who's working directly with somebody in HR or somebody in, you know, at the university. And so I think we always ask our candidates to be forthright with us and be transparent about the opportunities that they're looking at, their reasons for wanting to aspire to another role or to a higher role. And I think from a candidate perspective, that's important because there will be people in the process who can be great advocates for you, whether it's us with a client or a chair or, you know, somebody within the organization advocating for that candidate. So the better you know the candidate, the better you can advocate for them and fairly represent their interest. Candidates have to decide based on the level of trust, right? There are risks as a candidate if people in your organization find out that you are looking. It's not always a positive thing, but doesn't always lead to a big retention offer. And so, I think those are things candidates have to measure, but being transparent about it is going to be really important.
Craig, you've played many roles in the health system and departments. We don't always work with search firms. And as Wesley articulated, a search firm sometimes has more latitude in getting to know candidates. What should search committees expect from candidates in terms of transparency?
Well, I think it's always important, as Wesley pointed out, to be forthright. And you want to be sincere and honest. And I think one of the things that people sometimes forget is that sometimes motivations, situations change. And I think you have to be forthright in making those changes apparent to either the search firm or the search committee when those things happen. Sometimes they're personal in nature, sometimes they're professional in nature. But it's important to be forthright and honest the whole time. It's also important to understand up front as the candidate who you're going to be communicating with and when that communication is going to take place. I think search firms can oftentimes be very helpful to both the search committee and to the candidates, but one needs to be aware who they need to communicate with as a candidate and when that communication has to take place, because oftentimes I have found that not always to be the case. And so I think that's really important. I think you need to be, as a candidate, pretty deep in terms of not only what you're looking for, but why you're looking for it. You know, sometimes people tend to jump to the end game. This is what I need. Whereas if they really, if the search firm, if the candidates and or the search firm understood why you felt you needed that, they might actually be able to meet that accommodation. That can sometimes swing the deal one way or the other. So try to be as detailed as you can be in terms of why you feel it's important that you have this or that taken care of during the search process.
Yeah. Bob, from your experiences, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with what Wesley and Craig said about the importance of honesty, candor, forthrightness. Sometimes people mid-career have come to me and said, I'm potentially interested in this job, but I don't really want to go. Should I look? And I've often encouraged them to look as a growing experience for them. Sometimes going to see another institution gives you a better perspective on the field or on your own institution. The risk is I've seen some people in that situation look at lots of jobs, and pretty soon they get a reputation as being someone who's always looking and never actually making a decision. So I agree with Craig. The situation can vary and change, but in general, I think as long as the candidates are honest with their own chair or their own dean, and also honest with the institutions that are looking, I think a lot of the potential pitfalls can be avoided. I've seen some recruitments where someone had a fundamental issue that they didn't share with anyone, and they got to the 11th hour where the institution made them a great offer, and they said, "Well, I really can't because of, this family issue or some other detail." And it just creates a lot of hard feelings for everyone, and can be very disruptive to both their home institution and the institution that they're looking at. So candor and honesty are key.
Great points. Danielle, what are some of your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with all of this, and I'd like to go back to the issue of level of trust. So obviously that level of trust is not established at the point that you decide to look or somebody is looking for you, because we should address that as well. So people may look for a position, but they can also be approached. So that level of candor, again, you don't establish overnight. It hopefully is something that you have built into your relationship with your chair if you're looking for a division chief, or with the other person, your dean, if you're looking for a chair's position. So that's one. Life is full of risks. So if you approach it with the sense of, what am I looking for? What's my motivation? I think if a candidate, as each of us has gone through this in our leadership sort of careers, is why? What's the reason? And that self-reflection, I think, is important for people to say, am I happy where I am? Am I being challenged? What's the reason? What's my motivation for looking for a position? Not only to know what's out there, but what is it about my own professional development will this new search address? One issue that I know I can say personally, people sort of assume that I would never leave New York. So the where is actually important. And some of it is biased in saying, well, she's always done this. So I think being clear about the why, but also how you've evolved as an individual, that then gives some reasons for what your move will accomplish for you, both personally and professionally. Dispel some, not just biases, but myths about you as a candidate, I think is important to state and to be clear on that. And the other is, I think was mentioned, is, what are the challenges in, let's say you really want this position, right? And you're going forward, what are the challenges? Be upfront about that. Is it living arrangements? Is it, I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but a number of, I'll say women, but this is anecdotal, have had the challenge of accepting leadership positions that then separates them from their family. 50 years ago, if the field was men and you chose a position, your partner, which was usually your wife, would just follow. That's not the reality now. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, I've been married, what, almost 50 years. Those challenges need to be addressed in both in your personal life and then professionally, what it means to live alone in an apartment. It's not a small deal, even if you adore the job. So I think I just raised that I think honesty, but establishing that trust comes way before you're thinking of a move, because then you can trust that conversation to be real and not to be threatening to you and not to be risky to you if somebody really cares about your career development. And I was fortunate when I was looking that I had a chair who, in fact, cared about me as an individual. And I think I relate this. I went for an interview and actually, because I was invited, and then went back to my chair and said, "You know, I visited, but I'm not ready to make that move." He said, "Yeah, they already called me. I'm happy you're here, but I would support you in anything." It's because we trusted each other from the get-go that that conversation went well. So those are my thoughts about
Well, I
that.
think that your issues are very much present in today's world with dual employed spouses or partners. And a search firm asks those sort of questions. A search committee, at least in my experience, has been cautioned about very much about asking personal questions. And my experience is that search committees are less informed about some of those things because they don't ask, even though we've talked in previous conversations about there are ways to give candidates the opportunity to bring that up, and then you can get into it. Another area of communication for candidates is that once someone looks at a leadership position, whether it's a division head or a chair, even though it's supposedly confidential, people who are searching tend to find out. And frequently, candidates are looking at more than one position at the same time. What are the group's feelings about the obligation of candidates to inform people that they're looking at other positions?
I think being straight and being honest, I think there are limits to what you are obligated to share. I would say it's a given that if you're looking for a position, you're going to be looking widely. If you're a competitive applicant, you can say, "Of course, I'm exploring many opportunities." The question, and I'll leave it to my colleagues to answer as well, is, do you need to be specific? I don't think so. I think you can say, "I am looking, widely because I'm ready for this next opportunity, this next leadership challenge, or whatever it is, or lab, whatever you're looking for. And I am looking broadly." Okay. And that's an honest response.
I agree with Danielle. I think just being transparent, you don't have to provide a lot of detail. Much like chairs managing searches, they may have multiple candidates they're considering. You have to assume that they are. And so I think crossing the line of pitting one opportunity against the other is a tough thing to do in negotiations. It typically backfires on candidates. So, from that standpoint, keeping things on their own merit is a better strategy from a candidate's perspective in that regard. And I would say a theme through this whole conversation for me as a search executive is transparency. It's the thing I've seen be the most beneficial to candidates with our clients. From the early things of I'm very interested in this opportunity, my spouse is a pediatric neurosurgeon who's also going to need an opportunity, or I'm really interested in this opportunity, but my partner is at this time reluctant to make a change. We have clients who say, okay, well, at least we know what the challenge is. We've got to convince you and your partner, right? Or we're not interested because that's too big a hurdle at this point in time. But that transparency early, that transparency up front about, or at, towards the end about what you need, what your challenges are accepting the role, these are all steps in the relationship, right? They're all steps in building the chemistry for the candidate that's going to transcend a lot of issues nobody's even thought about. So, yeah, I think transparency, Bruder, and it's just never been a bad thing that I've seen in these processes.
Yeah, I think transparency is always a good idea. I do think, though, at your institution, you need to identify who are those people who need to know that you're looking at another position. And I certainly agree with Wes that you really shouldn't put two positions against each other and bargain for something. But on the other hand, I think you need to let the people who know, say if you're in the Department of Pediatrics, let the chair know that you think it's time for you to look for another position and why you're looking for that other position. Not because you're necessarily trolling for another offer from the chair, but you really want to be upfront with why it is that you're looking for that job. It's a natural progression. You'd like to be the division chief. You want a bigger lab. You want whatever it is. What are those issues that are making it so that you're looking at this time for another position. And sometimes they can respond to that and sometimes they can't. And that's fine. I mean, there are business reasons why those things happen. So.
This communication within your own department when you're evaluating a job, I'd be real interested in when and who to make that contact. I know I had a personal experience where I had just negotiated an opportunity unrelated, I thought, to retention with a faculty member, and I went to the PAS meetings, and the chair told me, "Oh, I've just offered that person a job, and they're coming next year." To And I had burned up some political capital, not knowing that what the situation was. And it always impressed me if someone was transparent with me. It made it easier in conversations with the reference checks because I knew why the person was looking, and I could say they're good communicators. They're transparent with the organization. They'll be upfront with you. Arnie, what are your thoughts about that situation?
Two things, obviously. I think transparency is crucial, and that includes with yourself, making sure that you've thought about why you want to move and what sort of situation that you want to get into in a potentially new job so that there's not a mismatch. Part of the reason that transparency is so crucial is to avoid those mismatches, in my view. So let's say, for example, that you're life has been about research, and you're going to an institution which is very modest in that field. Is it going to be a good match? Are you going to be able to accomplish what you're good at? You use your background to accomplish what you're good at. So I think the transparency is crucial. But one thing that hasn't been mentioned is the when. So when do you tell people, and which people do you tell when, so that you both are open, but also don't screw up your relationship or screw up your current job or potentially create a situation which precludes your taking a new job. So timing is critical, and the relationship that you have with people determines the timing. As if you have a good relationship, it's much easier to may have that discussion. If it's a little bit contentious, you have to be very careful about when, as well as how many details to share. I think it's really crucial to consider two things: how to avoid mismatches, and when you tell people what.
Bruce, you're always wise and have thoughts on this topic, I bet.
I certainly do, and I'd like to build on what other people have said. In terms of the when, if you have a very good relationship with a leader such as Dr. Hillemeyer or Dr. Sawin, as we've heard, it sometimes makes sense to speak with them even before you've started looking at a position, to let them know, "I'm interested in advancing my career. I'd be interested in looking at a division chief or a department chair position, and I'd like to know your thoughts. Am I ready? What should I be looking for?" Your dean or your department chair may know of open positions that would be very suitable for you. They may have recommendations for ways that you can improve your candidacy, having interviewed folks, and it certainly gives them a heads up even before you begin looking. As Arnie said, if you don't have that strong relationship, that might make it more difficult, and it's rather situational. The latest you should tell your dean or chair or the leaders is when you've been told by the search committee that they're interested and they're going to start reaching out to your references. Because although the whole reference reach out is supposed to be confidential, it won't be. And certainly your chair, your dean will hear or know about it. And it's certainly best for them to hear it from you. In terms of letting your colleagues know, that might be delayed a bit, again, for when you're actually negotiating for the position, so you can prepare them. In terms of how, as Arnie said, that's a much more difficult question. Again, it depends on the relationship that you have with the leader that you're discussing, what their expectations are of you or for you. And the very simplest is to invite them for coffee and just give a frank, I'm looking at a position. I'm interested in moving forward. They're going to be reaching out to references, and I thought you should know." Or if you have a strong relationship, go into greater depth. What should I be looking for at this point? Where should I go further? The supportive leaders can be tremendously helpful in giving you the information you need to be a successful candidate and more to be a successful new leader.
I guess everything that we've talked about in terms of trust and transparency to me speaks to a respectful relationship. So a couple of thoughts. One is most of us are not asking permission to seek an opportunity or to explore an opportunity. I would say that that would be my stance, that I'm not asking permission, but I'm respectful in my relationship with the person. I think it's been brought, so I have the agency to act on my behalf. I don't want to blindside folks, right? Because that's not respectful, regardless of whether you have a good relationship or a contentious relationship. Blindsiding someone is never a good thing. So that's where transparency, I think the when is really important. And a couple of points to add to what's been said. There's also responsibility to the place that you're leaving. If you have clinical responsibility, research responsibility, mentorship responsibility, that handoff to the next group, let's say you've decided to leave, is really important in understanding your commitment to the work. So if you cared about where you are, and hopefully we all do, regardless of the context, then handing a warm handoff and supporting your current organization and then entering the new leadership challenge, I think is really important. So I think all of that hinges on relationships. There are situations that are really contentious where someone may not act on your behalf and respect your choice to either move on, et cetera. And I think those are difficult situations to handle. But respect always wins the day. However you can position that in a respectful way, I don't think you can fail with a respectful exchange that maintains your autonomy for that decision, burns no bridges, even if you don't make friends, and helps those that you're leaving behind or that you're going to.
Bob, you have a perspective on this?
Well, Bruder, I was just wondering, I know when you asked the question earlier, I think our answers would suggest we're talking about situations where an individual may be ascending in the hierarchy of leadership. I wonder if the dynamic isn't different, however, if, say, you're a chair of a department and you're looking at another chair at another institution. For example, when we did a CEO search at our hospital, the first rounds were all done virtually, and there was a premium placed on confidentiality because many of the candidates were executives or CEOs at their current institutions. And I just wondered whether Wesley or others had thoughts about whether this obligation for transparency and communication is any different when you're looking at a parallel role at a different institution than if you're, aspiring to something a little higher.
Arnie, you've taken two chair jobs. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it is a little different, Bob, but it depends also on the quality and reputation of the two institutions. So what might be considered a lateral move often is not. So chair to chair. I was at Vanderbilt. I came to Cincinnati. Everybody in the field knows that that's a different situation. So it's not really a lateral move. But I do think you're right that you have to be very careful if you're moving from, let's say, chair to chair, because it suggests that there's something wrong at your current institution. And if you don't move, then you've created a difficult situation at your current institution. So yes, I agree, it's a little different, and the timing may be very different in terms of who you tell when, but I would still hold to those principles of transparency, openness as guiding factors.
I move also from one chair to a second chair. I stress the need for confidentiality as I first explored it with the institution that I ultimately went to. But I did tell the dean that I thought it was important that the dean knew that I had a relationship with Seattle. I'd done my residency there and knew people there. And I indicated that those folks had reached out to me and that there were some different opportunities there, but that I was happy where I was. And when I went back for the second visit, then I sent a message to our faculty saying that I had not made a decision to move. I had a previous relationship with that institution and they'd asked me to look. And I let my vice chairs know before I sent that out. You need to really be, every situation's different in that, but being respectful to your own institution is really critical. Well, I think we've had a great discussion today, and I think the topic today emphasized trust, transparency, being thoughtful and respectful, both to the institutions that you're looking at and to your colleagues that you're currently having a leadership position with. So I appreciate all the comments today. It's been a very interesting conversation. If you would like to hear other leadership and candidate-focused discussions, consider the Insights and the Career Physician websites. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's discussion. The Child Health Advisory Council is comprised of a diverse group of emeritus deans, department chairs, division chiefs, and child health executives recognized for their leadership contributions in academic, pediatrics, and child health. The CHAC's impact is further bolstered by council specialty advisors who are active current national leaders in each of the subspecialties in pediatrics. Collectively, the 30-plus members of the CHAC bring unmatched wisdom and experience to career physicians' executive search and leadership development endeavors for its clients. If you have a question for our council or have a future topic suggestion, please connect with us at pediatricinsight.com.